everyone. Welcome back to Talking in the Rain. I'm your host, Saida Unju, and today I have with me Vancouver's own Bilby Point. They're an amazing band, and I'll let them introduce themselves, and I'll quickly tell you that some of the things we talk about are how the band got together, their best heckles, where you can catch them on tour, some new things they've been working on, including their new single, For Your Time, which will be released after this episode is released. So keep an eye out if they've ever heard themselves playing their instruments, and why you, yes, listener, you should totally start learning the instrument you've been wanting to play for ages. We talked about so much more, but I'll let you listen and find out for yourself. Enjoy. Hello, guys. Thank you for joining me. Let's start with some introductions, get those out of the way. Do you want to go one by one, tell me your name, your role in the band, and also a song or musician that you've been obsessed with lately?
Sure.
Yeah, you want to go first, Jack?
I can start. Yeah. So hi, my name is Jack Armstrong. I am the lead singer in the band, and I play rhythm guitar as well, along with some keyboards and pianos in our music. And a band that I'm obsessed with and that I love, and a person that I love, is I'm a huge Strokes fan. One of my like main reasons I started writing songs and playing music was because of the Strokes, and more specifically Julian Casablancas, who's the lead singer in the Strokes. He's like my main influence for my vocals as well. Like, I'm just, you know, a Strokes fanboy basically, so
nice.
I'll go with that. Yeah,
cool.
Okay, I'll go. My name's Jordan Studer. I play the bass guitar in the band. And if I had to pick an artist, I mean, these guys know I love the Chili Peppers. That's like kind of like what Jack said, like definitely a reason I play the bass and why I got so into music for many years now. And they're still a favorite of mine. So yeah, I'll go with that.
My name is Zach Yeager. I play drums and background vocals in the band. I'm going to repeat a little bit of what they said, because we're all Strokes fanboys and Red Hot Chili Peppers fanboys. One of my favorite musicians of all time is Chad Smith, who's the drummer for the Red Hot Chili Peppers. He's a huge influence on me. Something I've been more into recently is kind of getting back into Tom Petty, who's been a longtime favorite of mine. And I've just been getting back into his albums these days, just going back and listening to the whole catalog.
And I'm Clay Dewar. I play guitar in the band. And I love all types of music. I love a lot of different artists, old and new. I love the Eagles. I love David Bowie. I love more modern artists. I love Bahamas. He's one of my favorites. And then more recently, I've been really getting into punk music. I've been listening to a lot of like 90s punk, ska punk is cool. All sorts of like rhythmic stuff.
Did you just say ska punk?
Yeah.
I did not know that's a thing. I need to look that up.
Yeah. It's really
damn
cool. Reggae meets punk.
That sounds like a good time. Nice. Well, I love that. Who writes the lyrics in the band, by the way? Is it like a collaborative process, or Jack, do you do it?
It's mostly me. Like, we've definitely collaborated on lyrics in the past, but for the most part, I'm writing the lyrics of the songs, yeah, primarily.
Cool. Okay. Because when you sent me the bio, I'm going to assume you wrote the bio.
No, actually, we have like a creative director kind of guy.
Oh,
help us with stuff like that.
Yeah, his name is Ethan Sawyer, and he, along with Jack's brother Shane, we've been kind of working with them for the past 6 or 8 months on, you know, photos and kind of like a rebrand that we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. So he was actually the one that wrote our most recent bio.
Okay, because I was going to say, it sounded so descriptive, poetic. I'm like, I can tell these guys are artists.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Ethan's like a very accomplished writer as well. And yeah, I believe he's a journalist.
Yeah,
he works for CBC.
He works for the CBC, and he writes Substack, weekly Substack. So he's a very accomplished, great writer. Mm-hmm. So we're lucky to be working with him.
Nice. That's really cool that you guys work with them. And talking about working together, how did the band get together? Because did you guys grow up together? I feel like I read something like that, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, we actually we're all from North Van, pretty close proximity to each other. Like a couple of streets away. The three of us, Jordan, myself, and Clay, we all went to elementary school together. And Jordan was in French immersion, so we weren't very good friends. But me and Clay have always been best friends since he moved here in grade three. And throughout high school, me and Clay was just. You know, we would have some drinks and just start jamming songs, like playing rock band, listening to music, and eventually found our way to getting real instruments and jamming together. And funny enough, Jack and Jordan, they were pretty much best friends throughout high school as well, and they were doing the same thing down the street without us knowing that.
Yeah, like me and Jack would jam at my house, and these guys would jam at Clay's house, and they're like basically neighbors. And yeah, it was crazy. And then, I mean, the story kind of goes, there's a few moments where we like met up and decided to like jam, or at least like show each other like, our jam setups and whatnot. And then there's one summer in particular where the four of us got together, and it was like, okay, like we're a band.
Yeah,
Hell yeah.
we'd me and Clay had released this released a song that we'd recorded with one mic in a room, and we'd created the band name, and we'd made socials for it, and I think they both ended up hearing it
Through like other
through
people or
other like
whatever.
kind of other friends and other people, and they
We just like thought it was cool, like, they have a band, like they have a name, like they're actually like doing it. And
yeah.
then yeah, I mean, you go
Well,
ahead.
I was gonna say, like, they had like original songs that they wrote and put out, and me and Studs were like, this is crazy, because we were just playing covers of like Stroke songs and Arctic Monkeys songs and stuff. Like, we weren't writing any music. So the fact that these two like wrote songs and released them, I was like, damn, these guys are actually doing this. Like, I didn't know, like, I just like never basically, like, we wouldn't have done it, any of
Yeah.
this, if they didn't like start by doing that. Because like me and Stu's were comfy just playing covers and jamming. Like, we never really had, like, we had aspirations to be in a band. Like, we definitely, I would say, like, we wanted to, but we just didn't really ever pull the trigger on it. And then, like, my side of the story is, like, I was at a friend's place. We were having like a LAN party, like gaming together, and my friend like pulled up their song on SoundCloud or something, or maybe it was like a Facebook link that you guys had posted. And I was like, wait, like, Zach and Clay have a band? Like, what the hell? Like, this is crazy. And then, like, a few weeks after that, I was with Clay at like a mutual friend's house, and he was like, I just said to him, like, yo, like, I heard your guys' songs, like, that's super cool you're doing that. And then he was like, yeah, like, we just jam in my basement, like, you and Stu should come by sometime and jam. And then, like, that's when we linked up. And then after that jam, like, I mean, you should tell what you thought, but like, me and Stu left, and we were like, that was awesome. Like, we're kind of like in a band, but also at the same time, it was like,
We're not in
we're not
the
sure yet. Like, because they were the band, right? Like, we were like the two guys coming in to jam. Like, we weren't in their band yet necessarily.
Well, it was funny too because we made a Facebook group,
Oh, yeah.
like a jam group, and like the four of us were in it, but a few other people were in it as well, and they were the ones who jumped on it. Like, let's jam.
Yeah,
Let's
they're the only ones
actually
that
do
showed up.
You two could be sitting here with
Yeah,
a
you could
couple
have a
other
couple
guys
other
if they had showed up on
people.
time at the right place.
They came in, and Studs is Jordan, by the way. I don't know if
Oh
that
yeah. Yeah,
just
yeah, yeah.
they came in, and we played 1979 by the Smashing Pumpkins
Oh
and a
yeah.
couple of other songs that we all knew.
And I believe
And
you guys probably taught us
we
some of
taught
your
you.
songs. I don't know if
Yeah,
that.
I think we taught you a couple of the songs that we had written. And once it was. I remember thinking, like, this is magical. Like, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me.
It was too perfect. Sorry to cut you off, but
No, it's
like
okay.
also like we literally just like filled all the roles. Like Clay and I would switch sometimes. He'd play bass and I'd play guitar, but like we basically were just like dropped into like our slots as this four-piece band. Like it just like worked out so great.
Yeah, they left, and I was like, they're in the band. Like, they've got to be in the band. Like, I hope they're
Yeah.
down to be in this band,
Things
like, take it seriously. And they were. And now we're
have got
here.
more serious, like as the years have gone on.
Yeah, I think it kind of like got to like the most like sort of like we're in a band moment was when we actually like applied to play at Kate's Park. They have like a summer concert series that they do. It's like a park in Deep Cove. And we applied to play the summer concert series as Bilby Point, like as a band. And then like when that was booked and we were like prepping for that, like learning covers and like learning their original songs and stuff, like that's when it was like, okay, like we're in a band now. We have a show. Like this is legit. So like that was kind of the moment for me where I was like, okay, yeah.
And we had like a bunch of our friends being like super supportive and coming out and like rocking out, and that like, I don't know, just felt very like real, even though in the grand scheme of things, it's a pretty small scale show, but it was awesome at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I love that so much. That's such a great story. And when was that?
That was 2018. So a long time ago. And then Studes went away to Sweden.
Well, I was still in university. He was still in university. Too, so it was really funny because like, we got like serious about this band quick, and it was like, okay, like, sorry, boys, I'm going to be like, I went to university in Victoria. So I was on the island. And even when I did that throughout that year, like these guys kept jamming. They played a few shows, and then like, I would even like come back, like just for the weekend, like just to play some shows sometimes, I think. And we recorded our first songs during that year too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. There was times where like, Studes would be getting off a ferry, we'd pick them up and like drive to a venue to play a show. Like I think we did that one time.
We had one, and I had just practiced by myself. Like,
yeah, he was practicing the bass like, parts for the songs like alone in his like
on the ferry.
Yeah,
I'm like, yeah, sure, like, exactly. He better be ready for this.
Like, yeah, and then we just like, yeah, maybe like did like a sound check kind of practice, but I mean, whatever, it worked.
He killed it. So it all
yeah, it was
out.
Awesome. It always worked out. It was never like a problem. Like that's. One of the things too that was so cool is the fact that we were able to keep it going, because I feel like there were times where we were like, how are we supposed to do this with Stu's on the island for like the whole year?
Yeah,
but we didn't let it stop us because we were so in love with the band, and like, you know, we were such good friends like pretty much immediately, and like we just made it work, and really glad we stuck through it.
You know what, me too, as a fan of your music.
Well, thanks.
That's amazing. Yeah. And so talking more about the band, let's get to the name. Is it, did you pick the name because of the place in Nelson, or is it just a fun coincidence?
No, it's not a coincidence at all. It's my mom's side of the family is from Nelson. So, you know, me and Clay, I think we spent like probably 9 months like shooting names back and forth between each other.
Was it that long?
It was a long time, yeah. I mean, like, we talked about it for a long time because we weren't actually a band yet. Like, we hadn't actually solidified or, like, recorded those songs even. We were just, like, jamming, and we're like, okay, if we're going to be in a band, like, what's it going to be called?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we weren't, like, eventually we had to pick a name, and we were thinking about Nelson, and I'm really glad we didn't do that.
Well, we Googled it, and
there's
like, oh.
There's, like, an 80s band called Nelson or something. We're like, oh, shit, it's Taken.
Yeah.
So then we... Bilby Point is the road where my family's property was.
Well, is that true? Or isn't there another road that...
No, it's the road. Okay. It's the road. It's very confusing. There's a point called Bilby Point, and then there's a road called Bilby Point. It's about the road, not the point. it's on the road. But we thought it was like unique, and that place was always really important to me and to Clay. We'd go up there all the time as like our little... getaway throughout high school. I went there every year since I was born. It was always a very like peaceful place, and the band being that kind of relief from normal life, it kind of made sense to name it after the vacation property. So at first I think we were like not sure about it, but I'm really happy with the name now. Like it's unique, and you know, everyone is the something.
Yeah.
So we wanted to get away from that.
That's funny because like I remember like you know, the band was already named Bilby Point before Studes and I were even like part of it. But I remember like starting out and being like, I wasn't really a big fan of the name. I was like, Bilby Point, like kind of lame. Like I wanted to be like a the something, and I had this idea to be called like the Thes, but there's a band called the Thes already. Plus they're so. Like, I'm really glad that's not our name. I wanted to do like the something, because like obviously I was saying earlier, like I'm a huge fan of the Strokes, and like they're not the only example of a band with the, but I just thought the Strokes such a cool name. It's like the Strokes, like that's awesome. And like Bilby Point, I was like, I don't know. But then, I mean, I'm super happy with the name now, and like the fact that it has such sentimental value to Zach and all of us, since like we've all been there now and like spent time there. So like it's a special place for all of us now. And
And I like telling, I like explaining it to people.
It's yeah, like
it's nice.
You know, it has a story behind it. Yeah, totally. And like it has like, you know, sentimental feelings for all of us about the place. And like it's, it means something to us. And it's a very unique name. Like, you know, you guys were looking up names and being like, that's taken. Like, there's no one called Bilby Point except us, which is very cool.
It tends to prompt intrigue because people are like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, exactly. So like after, you know, years being in the band and stuff, like I love the name now and very happy with it for all those reasons. So yeah, and it's a cool story.
Nice. It is a cool story. Very cool indeed. And I have now realized that I've been pronouncing your band's name wrong.
Oh, that's
a lot
okay.
of people do.
I was gonna say
that's another thing too about the name, which is like
yeah.
also kind of was bugging me. It was like you tell people like, oh, like what's your band called? And you're like Bilby Point. And they're always like, what? Like Bilby, they never get it right away. Like yeah. Bilby. Like I've heard people say Bill By Point, which is
Brimley.
Like Brimley, like you know, like,
just like a lot of like Belby.
Yeah, Belby and stuff. So that's something that like, you know, is kind of not like I'm totally over it now and I love the name, like I've said, but like it's something that's like was a little frustrating at first because like you're trying to tell people about your band and they can't even like say the name right. And you don't want to like overly correct them over and over again. But I will say though, something that is good about that is that you say like, oh, we're Bilby Point. And they're like, what? And you're like, Bilby Point. And they're like, what? Bilby. Like you say it so many times that like
stick
maybe it like
head.
Drills into their head more. Yeah. So like maybe that's a good thing that it's like not super easy to pronounce. But
yeah, it's also, well, not for you guys, for me, a fun little topic of conversation. Every time I mention the band to someone, they're like, is it Belby or Bilby? And then we just end up talking about music. And then it's amazing. No,
it's a conversation. It's an yeah. icebreaker.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Talking about icebreakers, there was something I wanted to tell you guys. I want to come clean. So at your holiday show, do you remember perhaps someone yelling, I don't care about Christmas?
Maybe. Was that,
were we on stage?
Was that you?
So that's been haunting me forever.
Was that
because
when we were?
That was at the BP holiday fiasco. Jack, you said this song goes out to everyone who's not going home for Christmas. And my friend turned to me and said, oh, Merry Christmas. Because I don't celebrate Christmas. I told to him, I said, oh, it's okay. I don't care about Christmas. But boys, I was wearing earplugs. And I yelled it out. And everyone in front of me turned around. They're like, that's so fucked up.
We've had way worse said to us on stage.
Yeah, we've had, yeah, like, you know, that's nothing. That's all good. That's actually hilarious.
Yeah, I was so worried that I was like, I don't want them to think that I wanted to heckle them.
No.
We can take it.
No, I mean, we've had like, you know, like something that I was going to say earlier, like when Stu was saying how like all our friends come out to the shows, like it's really special to us that a lot of our friends come and like, it's, they're all super supportive of us and what we're doing. But that being said, like our friends can get a couple drinks in them and get like a little too comfortable with
their
the fact that
mind.
Like we're their friends on stage. So they feel like they can just yell anything and like they do definitely yell whatever they want. So like we're definitely like not
we're used to it.
We're used to it. Like it doesn't affect us at all anymore. So, and even, you know, that directing that at us, obviously.
And you know what? I don't really like Christmas that much either. So it's fine.
Well, there you go.
Let's go.
On the record now.
Let's freaking go. Thank you. Do you guys have like a worst heckling story or best for that matter?
I guess the Yacht Club is the best one for sure. Yeah. So I we played a show for what was the event?
It was Clay's co-worker's birthday.
Clay's co-worker's birthday party at the False Creek Yacht Club.
I think it was a dual
birthday,
50 turning 50 birthday party,
double 50s. Yeah,
like
so,
a fancier thing for us.
Yeah, but it was like kind of fancy because it's at the Yacht Club and like everyone was kind of dressed up. We dressed up in like suits. We were like the Beatles. It was hilarious. And we went up there, played our set. We had a lot of covers in there that we wanted to play. Like we weren't really playing any like crowd pleasing covers necessarily. And we'd had a few beverages as well, and we were getting loose. And there was this, like, from what I remember, there was like this one girl in the crowd that was like yelling, basically like, play something we know, like over and over again. Cause we were playing like Arctic Monkeys songs and like Oasis songs and stuff that you know, we love, but like not necessarily our like, you know, top 40 hits that people want to hear.
Like, cut, like, you know, stroke song or something.
Yeah, like some like B-side stroke song that like, nobody knows.
Majority and, like 50 years old.
Yeah, it was older crew.
They weren't really like down with Oasis and
stuff. Yeah, well, like I would say they were like, I think for the most everybody was having a good time. Like it wasn't like we were playing these songs and everyone was rolling their eyes. Like it was just this one person in particular who probably was having a few drinks as well, and then and was yelling that at us like while we were playing. And I remember like we played Running Down a Dream by Tom Petty, and like I forget what I said on the mic. You remember what I said? I don't know if I said anything. I said like maybe you'll know this one or something.
I think you said like this one's for you, and you looked at her and you
like... I walked like right up to her like off of kind of the platform stage, and like that song, like Clay plays this big, like, na-na-na-na-na-na, like run down the guitar. And there's a big, like massive open E chord.
Probably the loudest song we played all night.
So yeah. Like, and I just so like, loud. I went up to her and just like played the chord, like super loud, like standing, like, you know, like right in front of her and just like played the chord, like super loud, like every time, like it came down. And yeah, trying to maybe prove a point or something, but I don't know. I was also a little inebriated, but that's probably the most like iconic heckling story is because we say that all the time now, and like we're developing a set for a show or whatever, and someone will be like, "Play something we know," you know, like it's like a joke because like we got told that. So
that's, I love the pettiness. That's amazing. You should do that to everyone.
I just walk right up to them and just that was a cool moment. I thought
I agree. Well, I wasn't there, but it sounds cool. So talk about the set list. How do you guys decide on kind of what you're going to be playing, if you're going to be playing covers or not? Is the set list usually the same for every show, or do you change it up? How is that?
Recently we've kind of had a new approach to building a set list. I think we've kind of learned that you want to have, like, at least in our opinion right now, it's nice to have a lot of the sets you play are either 30 minutes, 45 minutes, or an hour. That's the majority of the stuff that we play. So it's nice to have like a really tight 30-minute set that, you know, you work on really hard, and a nice like 45, 50-minute set that you work on really hard. And you know, you try to build it for what you think the crowd's going to want to hear, depending on the venue, depending on the crowd that you think is going to be there, depending on the audience. And then, you know, trying to make transitions as clean as possible, trying to make the songs line up into each other as best as they can. You basically, if you go watch, like we love live music. So we go see bands play all the time, big bands, small bands. We watch YouTube. We'll sit here on a Friday night and watch 6 hours of the Wings play from 1977. Yeah. And we'll be like, do you see how he did that? And then we'll try to work something like that into one of our sets. So, it's become a lot more of an art form over the years for us. I think before it was just like, we're going to play the songs that we like. And
we also, you know, didn't really have, care. Sorry, we didn't have like a ton of originals back then. So we're, like, we're just playing covers because it's cool. And now we like, we've got all these original songs and like both new and old. So like we kind of try to weave those in.
Yeah.
But it's like Zach said, we're getting better at just making it, crafting a set that has like no lulls. And it's just kind of, I don't know, gets people fired up the whole way through. Mm-hmm. And then we'll strategically place like a cover or like a slow song, like a surprise in there.
For example, we've changed our set completely from when you saw us at the Holiday Show. That's something that we've been working on over the winter, is exactly what Stu's just said about taking out some of those lulls. I think we've learned a lot from some of our performances last year, and just trying to tighten everything up and make it more exciting, especially with people's attention spans these days. Like, it's important to try to be exciting at least, or at least engaging with the audience the whole time. So
just like make the most out of like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
That's all you got. And we're, like we were saying earlier, we're going into this, this tour kind of coming up in a few months here. So our goal these days is just like getting dialed for that.
And when we go on tour, we're going to be playing some venues where it will require some more covers. So we've kind of learned that we just have this big bank of covers that crowd pleasers for maybe certain age groups and age ranges, and then we'll work those in wherever we kind of see fit, where it makes the most sense.
Mm-hmm. And where are you guys going on the tour?
Right now we have our first leg of our tour booked. It starts May 31st in Edmonton, and then the following night, June 1st, we're playing in Red Deer, and then the following night after that we're playing in Calgary. And then we have a few days off, and then we're playing in Summerland near Penticton on the Wednesday night of the following week. which I think is June 5th, I think. And then the 6th is Kelowna. 7th is Kamloops. And the 8th is in Revelstoke. And then we're going to be back home. We'll probably play in Vancouver around that time, hopefully. And then we're going to North by Northeast in Toronto to play one or two shows the following weekend.
And that's then, so exciting.
That's it for the first leg. There'll probably be more later in the year, but that's the plan for now.
You're going to be driving around a lot.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big thing. Tripping. Yeah, it's going to be a really cool experience for us. We've never done anything like this before. Like, we have played some shows outside Vancouver, but primarily we play in Vancouver, and we've never like road tripped in a van with our gear before, like, and gone, you know, these long, like 10-hour drives. Like, it's going to be an experience for sure. And we're playing like a lot of shows back to back to back. So kind of like talking about how we were working on our set and stuff, like, we are hoping that this tour, and we believe this tour will like really solidify like our live show and our live performance, because we're going to be playing night in, night out. Like, you know, it'll just get our set really dialed in, and yeah, it's going to be awesome. We're really excited about it.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's going to be tiring, but exciting.
Yeah, it's
tiring, but exciting.
It's going to be an experience for sure. Like, there'll be ups and downs, and it's going to be a bit of a roller coaster with how tight everything's packed together. But it's going to be, you know, an experience we'll remember for the rest of our lives, I'm sure. So
it'll be definitely cool. Yeah. And I'm going to assume the four of you have never been on like a big road trip together before.
We have, actually. We've gone to Nelson together, and that's about a 10-hour drive with some stops. So it's a long haul.
Then we've played in Toronto for North by Northeast, which is not a road trip, but we've done a little bit of traveling together for a show. But there's nothing like this.
We've been on tons of vacations together, and we're together all the time. So I'm not too concerned about getting too annoyed with them, but
yeah.
It'll happen for sure.
Oh yeah,
we have a couple days off, so we'll figure it out then.
Yeah, we get along so well. Like, it's gonna be a blast.
Yeah,
that sounds like it's gonna be a good time. This is your second time playing at North by Northeast. How was the first time playing in Toronto, so far from your, you know, home, and what are you bringing from that experience for your second time around?
I think the first time it was a lot of fun. The first time we went, like, we kind of made a bit of a vacation out of it. We went for like a full week. Even we were only scheduled to play once. We ended up playing two shows because another band dropped out. But we kind of made like a whole trip of it, as I would say it was more of a vacation than like a tour. And that was great. I mean, we spent a lot of money and had a lot of fun, but I think this time we've kind of learned that, you know, we still work jobs as well. So we kind of have to make the most of our time when we're going to be going out of town. So that's why touring has got to be a lot more condensed. And that's why when we go to North by Northeast, we're probably only going to be there about 3 days. We're going to try and play twice. So I think the lesson is, it's more of a business trip this time. You know, we're going to try and get a lot more people from industry to come to the show this time, you know, use the advantages of being in Toronto, which is obviously a big hub in Canadian music, and just try to get as many people from industry to come as we can. And we do have a bit of a fan base out there. So, you know, it's nice to get those people on the East Coast, and hopefully we can come back out there again later in the year or next year.
Yeah, that's so cool to, you know, be able to say, yeah, we have fans in Toronto. Casual. Yeah,
kind of crazy. Like, you know, obviously we've played there once, and I think even in that time, because that was 2 years ago now in the summer, like, in this time we have built up more of a following in the last couple of years. So like, we had a couple fans that were like really excited to see us in Toronto last time, and now we're going back, and they've already like contacted us about seeing us again, but we have even like more now that are messaging us that want to see us in Toronto. So it's just like, it's really cool to, you know, reconnect with those old fans that saw us then, and then meet new people as well. And since, you know, we're still a smaller scale band at this point, like, we can really connect with these people. Like, last time we got to, you know, meet these people that have been messaging us on Instagram, like, from all, you know, across the country, and like talk with them, and we gave them some merch, and like, you know, connected with them. It's just like a really cool thing to be able to say that we can do that and have those experiences with people through, you know, sharing our music. It's really cool.
It's a cool experience for the like the fans as well, because I mean the whole reason we're here together is because I was, you know, able to like go up to Jack and be like, hey, will you be on my podcast? Yeah. it's really nice having that option to be able to connect with like the musicians that you like. It's really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if anyone ever wants to come and talk to us at any of our shows, like, don't be afraid to come and talk to us, because we love that. That's the best part of it for us. And if you want to DM us on Instagram, like, DM us on Instagram, talk to us. You know, we send out free merch and stuff all the time. We just want to, you know, grow our listener base as much as we can. And we want to connect with as many people as we possibly can, because, you know, our goal is to make a career out of this. And it's so much fun to share our music. Like, that's why we do this, because we love it. Like, if you know, the fact that someone will listen to our song when they're feeling sad or feeling happy and have a moment, that's the whole reason we do this in the first place. So don't ever feel afraid to come up and talk to us or message us. Like, we're all really nice guys. We like to hang out and talk, so don't be afraid of us. Except for Jack.
I love that.
No.
So you have some new music coming out soon.
Yeah.
Talk to me about it.
Yeah.
We were just in the studio.
Yep.
We had 4 days in the studio. We're working on 3 songs. Had an awesome time. Worked with some cool people.
We recently, we've recorded all of our music that is available on Spotify. And, you know, right now it was recorded with the same producer. And we've recently changed our producer. We're kind of going in a bit of a new direction. Musically, just it's the same format of songs, like the same style of music. It's just kind of a little bit of a different sound for us, and that's kind of going along with our bit of an image change, our bit of our rebrand. So we worked with our longtime live sound technician JJ Heath, and we just had a blast going in the studio with him. It was like a refreshing to work with someone new. Work in a new studio, Phony Records in East Hastings. Michael's the nicest guy ever. Mm-hmm. So he was super accommodating to us. He ended up letting us stay late a couple of days, and just like really make sure that these songs were to the point where we're happy with them. You know, we've ended up like implementing some more keyboards and piano into these songs, which is something that we've wanted to do in the past, but never really have gotten the time to do it. And we're really excited about these songs. We just got the first mixes back on Friday for mm-hmm. them, and we're really excited to share them with people. I think it's nice. I think they're gonna connect with our old fan base and our current fan base. I'd say I think people will like them.
Yeah, are you able to give me a title or two or
of the songs?
Yeah,
yeah, we can. I mean, we recorded 3 songs. We have a song called Fairy Tale, a song called For Your Time. And the last one is next Thursday.
Hmm.
So.
Wow. Okay. So next Thursday. Friday's EP. Yeah. I like not doing anything fun on a Tuesday.
Thursday. Yeah. Yeah. We like the days of the week, apparently.
Yeah, I sense a theme here.
Something going on.
It's like a broad theme of time, I think, is something that we all have found fascinating. Jack always had this joke. And I don't think it was actually a joke to him, but it was a joke to us, where he would say, time is irrelevant and doesn't mean anything. It's just numbers made up by some guy. And I would say, I like the philosophy, but when you're an hour late to something,
yeah,
it does kind of mean
I'm
a little
late.
Bit.
I'm like, time's not real. It's not late.
I think
okay.
That goes through a lot.
I'm a night owl. And yesterday, you know how last night the clocks changed?
Yes.
Yeah, all of my friends were like, Sarah, it's gonna be immediately 3 a.m. Like, I need to go, I need to sleep. I'm like, time is made up, it's just numbers. You don't have to go anywhere.
Exactly. Yeah.
Sounds like you guys are
spirit. It's just a number on your phone changing. It's not nothing actually happens, you know. Like,
exactly. The sun's gonna set later now, I guess.
Something like that.
So I had a little Tuesday's question. I'm gonna preface this by saying, at my old job, my off days were Tuesday and Wednesdays. And I'm not a big lyric listener. I like can't really pay attention enough to understand the lyrics. But then I think the first time I was actually like listening to one of your songs was when I was off on a Tuesday and I heard you sing "Whoever Does Fun on a Something Fun on a Tuesday." I was like,
and you're like, hey,
that's the only day I have fun.
Yeah, like the best day of the week.
Yeah.
Exactly. So when was the last time you did something fun on a Tuesday, guys?
Tuesdays aren't that fun Tuesday, for me. Well, right now.
Tuesdays aren't actually that bad. I'm trying to remember, like, how's the song even go? It's like
Fridays.
Yeah. No, like yeah, but like, what's the line before another Tuesday? Whoever did something fun on Tuesday. Yeah, I guess like Tuesday just rolls through. It's like it's not Monday because Monday is, you know, the start of the week. Maybe there's something there for Mondays, but Tuesday's like, it's the next day. I don't know. It's like maybe the worst day, but to answer your question, Tuesdays, something fun on a Tuesday. I go to trivia sometimes at Bridge Brewing on Tuesday nights and fun you can do on a Tuesday that I've done a few times actually. Yeah. We actually, me and Studs mostly, but Zach and Clay have both come as well before, but we go to trivia on Mondays at a Good Co in Northwoods, like right in North Van. They do trivia every Monday there, and we try to go every Monday. We've been a little bit not going as much. We've been kind of busy with the band and stuff recently, a little flaky lately, but like there was a while there, like especially last summer, we went every single week and we were there every week.
And we were like trying to win the grand prize.
Yeah, because you can compete and you gain points each week. So like if you place well and like they count your top 10 scores from the season and then you get entered to a raffle, we actually won. That's just hilarious. Well, we actually won the raffle for the grand prize, which is funny because like, to be completely honest, our team's not that good. We don't usually win. We're like a middle of the pack, you know? There's like usually 10 or 12 teams there. Like it's a pretty happening trivia night. And we usually are middle of the pack, like fifth, sixth, maybe sometimes a fourth place. Sometimes we get a podium finish, which is nice. We have come first before, but it's very rare. But we actually ended up winning the grand prize. And it was just like a raffle that they do. So like we had less tickets in the raffle because we only came like fifth or sixth. And obviously like the more raffle tickets you get based on how high you finish in the standings. And we actually won the grand prize, and it's embarrassing because it was 8 tickets to Red Truck Brewing's concert series that they do every summer. And we couldn't go because we were all out of town that weekend, and we had like 24 drink tickets and 8 tickets. And these tickets are like, they're not cheap. Like I think at the whole evaluation for the prize was like $800, like 24 drink tickets and 8 tickets to the concert. And we couldn't go. And I, like, honestly worked my ass off trying to sell those. I was messaging everybody I knew, like, yo, you want to go to this concert series? Like, we have 8 tickets. We can sell them, like, cheap. Like, you know, it's all good. Or, like, I was trying to give them away. And no one could go. And so they're still sitting in an envelope in my bedroom. And we never went. And then I tried to, like, ask the people there, like, oh, can we, like, use these next year or something? Because, like, we were at Red Truck Brewing. And I asked about it. And they're like, no, like, you can't do that. And I was like, okay, well, I guess these are just going to waste. But... so kind of a sad story by the
that
end.
That hurts my but soul. That's so what sad.
What they did say, though, because I have 24 drink tickets, they said that, I also asked, can I use these at like just the brewery, like not for the event? They're like, no, those are exclusive to the event. But every summer they use the same drink ticket, like they print out the same ones. So when I asked the server at Red Truck Brewing, she said, like, if you hold on to those and you come next summer, you can try to use those and they'll probably work. So I will still potentially have 24 drink tickets at the next concert series, but I'll have to buy my tickets.
So come find
there.
Jack.
Yeah. At the Red Truck Brewing concert series this coming summer, and I'll slide you a drink.
Maybe we'll be playing it. You never know.
Yeah, and maybe we'll be playing it, and then, you know, we got drink tickets, so.
Awesome. Oh, yeah. That's so funny. I have a little, I'm sorry, I'm going to go a little tangent here. A fun little fact about the Good Co, because we used to go to Good Co on Mondays. And then we did that for like a full year. And then our trivia guy, he comes up to us. He's like, oh, this is my last show ever here. We're parting ways with Good Co. And then so we followed him to the living room. That's why we go there now. Oh, yeah, it was so funny that you mentioned Good Co. I'm like, yeah, that's my old place.
Yeah.
Stomping ground.
Well, that's really funny too, because like the guy that's doing it now, he's like become a friend of ours since we go there so often. And he's awesome. We love him. And I guess he must be the guy that came after the trivia person that you were doing it with left.
Yeah.
So he was the replacement, and he's been doing it now for like the past year and a bit. He's awesome. We get along with him super well. He's like fans of our music too, because we shared our band with him and stuff. And yeah, so that's also cool. He supports our team because, you know, we're kind of the underdogs over there. Like, we never really win, so he's always like kind of rooting for us secretly, I guess, and not so secretly, because he does say occasionally on the mic, you know, hype us up or say we're his favorite team or whatever. So that's fun.
I love that so much. I love that for you guys. That's amazing. Yeah, so we went on a little trivia tangent. What about the rest of you guys? The little fun times on a Tuesday.
I honestly don't do too much on Tuesdays. Sometimes I teach drum lessons on Tuesday. Sometimes
that's fun.
Yeah, that's good. I practice on Tuesdays a lot, like drum stuff. Other than that, Tuesdays it's kind of like the lyric, like it's kind of a nothing day to me, honestly. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately. Wish I had something fun to do on Tuesdays. Maybe I should find something. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should come to trivia.
Yeah, sure.
What about you, Clay and Jordan?
I don't know. On Tuesday, the only time I do something fun is if we had like, we scheduled a rehearsal or something. But Tuesdays kind of just roll by for me as well. Or cheap movies. I do like doing that.
Yeah, cheap movies. Mm-hmm. Is always a good option.
Yeah, movie special.
But I don't do it very often.
Yeah, an ideal Tuesday for me would... we'd either be like jamming with the guys in a rehearsal, or just another night in, chilling, watching Netflix, video games. That's what I like to do.
Tuesdays and Netflix night.
It's a good recovery day because Mondays are horrible. And then I feel like the shock hits you Tuesday morning when you get to work. And then you're like, oh shit, like I really need to sleep.
Yeah.
Do you all work from like Monday to Friday?
Yeah.
More or less.
Yeah, more or less, Monday to Friday. Mm-hmm. We'll see if that changes this year, but so far.
Yeah, it's something, though, that we, like, definitely, at least for me, because I work in service mostly, like, I'm a server, and I've worked at various restaurants while, like, I've been in the band. And, like, I think it's important for us, at least, and I've always tried to do this, is, like, make sure our schedules are somewhat lined up, because it makes practicing way easier. Like,
yeah.
I try to work day shifts exclusively, because these guys all kind of work, like, during the day as well, Monday to Friday. So it is something that we think about, because, you know, we have to fund the band, and we're not able to, like, fully fund the band off our profits from the band at this point, so we need to work jobs. And it's important that we keep our schedules similar so we can practice as much as we can.
Yeah, it's a sacrifice that you make being in a band. Like, mm-hmm. It's just one of those things where we all kind of have to be on the same page with our schedules all the time. So, like, you know, Jack could potentially make more money if he worked at night, but, you know, he works in a place where, you know, he can still, you know, make money during the day so that he has nights available for us,
mm-hmm.
Which is great. And it's a sacrifice that he makes for us, which we really appreciate.
And like weekends too, because like I try to keep weekends free, because these guys have Saturday, Sunday off every week. So if we can have like a full day Saturday, if we need to practice for like a long time, like a big session, like especially with this tour coming up and everything, like we're going to need to take like, you know, noon to five, like big jam session Saturday or Sunday or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So it's good to keep those days free for everybody. So yeah.
Damn. Did you just say noon to five? 5 hours?
And that's like an example. I mean, we've done stuff like that before, but like we try to practice.
It's nice getting like a long, like full day and like that. Cause obviously we're chilling, having fun while we do it. It's not so serious.
Yeah. Cause I mean, you know, it sounds like maybe like a long day, but like, it's actually, we're having the most fun in the world when we're playing music. So it's like, there's nothing else I'd rather be doing from noon to five on a Saturday than jamming and working on new songs.
We've done longer.
We've done longer.
You just do what you got to do. Like if we weren't able to meet up during the week for whatever reason, like it's pretty easy for our schedules to not line up, just a few things here and there. And then it's like, well, let's get a big one in on the weekend, because that's just what's got to happen.
So this might be a stupid question, and excuse me if it is, because I don't play any instruments. I used to play the piano. But does it not hurt playing for that long? Your fingers, your hands, your arms?
we're all pretty, I think the thing is, you know, we play so much all the time that we get used to playing for that long. Like if we took like 2 or 3 months off from playing any instruments and then went into like a 5-6 hour practice, you'd be pretty sore after. But we play every week, you know, 2 or 3 times a week when we're in rehearsal mode, or when we're writing music, or when we're preparing to go in the studio. So, you know, like sometimes in a studio day, I'll play drums for 6 or 7 hours, like just tracking, and mm-hmm. they'll be playing with me. So you kind of have to, it's kind of like, it's like, think about it as building cardio up. Like you want to be able to play a full set without getting too tired. So the more you play, the more you're building up your muscles, the more you're building up your calluses, and it honestly becomes easier the more you do it.
Yeah. Have you ever played for so long or so intensely that you like physically hurt yourself?
Yeah, almost every show.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I mean, I would say my like drums is the most physical instrument out of all of them. And, you know, there's definitely been sets where like I get carpal tunnel if we're playing like a lot of fast songs. So you kind of have to, you know, like
blisters on your hands
or blisters, like blisters, you start bleeding, stuff like that. So you kind of have to, it all goes into the preparation before the show. Like the more that I'm playing, the more that I'm taking care of my body, and stretching and warming up before the show, like all that stuff is not glamorous at all, but really important to being able to play a long show without getting injured. So it doesn't happen nearly as often anymore because of that. Something nice. We've learned over time.
I mean, we've definitely never had any like, you know, serious injuries on stage or anything like that. But I will say though, like, you know, we've done some stuff where we've sort of like, just when we're jamming, having fun, like swapping instruments, and like, there's something to be said about like the calluses that Stu's has on his fingers from playing the bass.
Yeah,
because the strings are like really thick, and like I play bass like sometimes just to like you know, like switch up instruments, like jam a little bit. I'm not a bass player, but like I can play around a little bit. And there's been times where like I've played bass for an extensive period of time, and then I've gotten like big blisters on my fingers from like plucking the bass strings. So but like that's like just a little side note of injury.
Those are just like little things. Like if you take a break from playing for whatever reason, it's like, I'm sure we all have little things like that. And you're like, oh, I'm not used to this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you develop like calluses, like Zach said, like on, I mean, for a drummer, like, I guess it's like on your
thumb and
yeah, like wherever you hold the sticks, like however your grip is. And then for guitar players, it's like on your left hand, like all your fingertips will have calluses on them. So you can play the strings and like, there's no pain there, but it's an interesting question because like you mentioned, you don't play any like string instruments or any like guitar or anything like that. Like one of the things that, because I've never like taught guitar to anyone, but like there's been times where I've kind of shown people like, oh yeah, here's how you play a couple chords or whatever. And finger pain is definitely something that comes up, because if you have no calluses built up on your fingers,
yeah,
you can actually like, you can slice your finger on a guitar string, you know, like it doesn't happen often, but
I think it's a big barrier to entry for a lot of people. I think they're like, oh, my hand hurts, and then they quit.
Yeah, like you gotta
battle through it, it'll go away.
You gotta get blisters and then they harden into steel.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And then you're good.
Ever since I saw School of Rock as a child, I've been wanting to play the bass. I still have it to this day because I'm scared of my fingers hurting.
Yeah. Well, I won't lie. Like they probably will hurt, but like
you should do it.
Like anyone listening to this as well. Like if you have ever thought about playing an instrument and you're debating it, you're not sure, like you get some finger pain or whatever it is, like do it. Like I mean, we all obviously love playing music, but like I try to tell anyone, and some people think like, oh, cause like a lot of us, like we've been playing music for like our whole lives, like since we were kids and stuff. So like, we've always been musical and like playing, but like you can start learning an instrument at any age. Like there's no barriers. Like
it's actually
so many resources.
It's easier now than ever.
Yeah. Because there's so many resources online. Like if you want to learn any song on any instrument, you can literally just look it up on YouTube. There'll be someone playing it, or you can look up like tabs or even sheet music.
Or YouTube videos.
Yeah, exactly. Like anything. So it's like, I always just say, if you want to learn, do it, because you won't regret it. And even just a little bit of practice, like every week, like just like a couple, like you know, 30 minutes a week, even on something, and just like try to learn a song on piano or on guitar or something. And yeah, it's worthwhile for sure.
And bass is the easiest instrument.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah, bass is super easy. So you'll have no problems with that.
It's a good place to say. Well, I don't know about all
that's
that.
Not true.
But it's actually rude. I was going to say, like, just on the subject of like anyone listening should learn an instrument if they're thinking about it, like, your progression goes up so quick once you like are able to like play along to just like a song that you actually like, opposed to maybe, because like if you're learning, let's say it's like in school or something, you're playing stuff that you're not super interested in. That's kind of what happened to me. And then like you start playing things you actually like, songs you really like, and you're like, this is crazy, like I'm playing this. And then from there you get yourself like one friend that can also do it, and then
you're gonna start a band.
And then you start a band, and it's the best. So
yeah,
if you're thinking about
it.
I have. One of my goals for this year is to finally start taking lessons, but it's March and I still haven't, so.
Well, you know, like I was saying, there's no timeline, there's no expiration date on learning an instrument. You know, you can always go in there and learn it. And
come
yeah, you should do it.
Come to our jam space with us. We'll show you.
Yeah, we'll teach you.
It's a lot like School of Rock.
I'll be so good.
Just gotta rock the G, I believe.
Yeah. The G, yeah. Flip it on its side. Shalom.
Hello.
You got a base.
Do you guys have any instruments that you want to learn?
I wish I could play piano. I would love to know how to play piano. I've always been jealous of Jack's ability to play piano secretly. I watch him and I'm like, fuck, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I dabbled in guitar, but it's too mainstream for me. I'm just kidding.
He's a drummer too.
I just gave up on it.
I've always wanted to learn like some kind of string instrument, like with a bow, like a cello, I think would be super cool. Like I just that Yo-Yo Ma, like cello suite and G, like the
be able to break that,
like that's just like so beautiful. It's such a beautiful song. Like I just think that's so cool. Plus like the bow, like I've used a bow before, like just screwing around. Like obviously I don't know what I'm doing, but like if I was going to learn a new instrument, I think I might learn that cello specifically. I think it'd be really cool. Either of you guys, instruments you want to learn?
I want to get better at drums, but I don't want to carry them around.
I mean
it's the same answer, Zach. I play like the tiniest bit of piano, but I'd love to actually know what I'm doing. I feel like that's just like such a versatile instrument, that just for like even getting ideas across, like chord ideas. And then so I'll probably say that, but if I wanted to give a more fun answer, it'd be like a cool like brass instrument or something. Get really good
trumpet
in the trumpet or something. Something you could solo on.
That'd be cool.
God. I'm just imagining you on stage like putting the bass aside to pick up a trumpet.
That'd be amazing.
Lee.
Exactly, like Lee from the Chili Peppers plays the trumpet too.
What about you, Clay?
I always would like to get better at piano. I always just neglect learning. I know how to do basic things, but I'm not like a wizard like Jeff.
Well, Clay's definitely, I mean, not to shit on these guys, their abilities, because they're actually both not, I mean, honestly, not so much Zach. I haven't seen
I've never played piano,
but before. I just like but it. Not, and you could definitely learn. I mean, like, we're all musically inclined. Like, I think anybody here could sit down and learn if they wanted to and put some time into it. But I just know Clay is more accomplished on piano. Like, he can play for sure. Obviously, if you wanted to practice and get better, you could do that. But like, I just thought I'd say,
hey, why are you underselling yourself, man?
Another instrument would be a mandolin. Would be cool.
Incorporating that into our music would be awesome.
Yeah, like that REM song we played or whatever that has a mandolin in it.
Yeah, it's just so unique. Like it's so identifiable. You hear a mandolin, it's like that's a mandolin.
What's it? The California Led Zeppelin. So good.
Hey, if in the future you add more instruments to the band, that would be super cool, but it takes time. I know. And I mean, the you mentioned that you have more piano in the new songs, so I'm really curious to see what that sounds like.
We're really excited. I mean, it's not it's a lot of like accent stuff and like a lot of like support. It's like a supporting instrument, I would say, in a lot of the songs so far. But Jack did a great job. He just spent like a whole day tracking keys to all three songs and experimenting with where they would sound cool and kind of trying to accent some lead guitar stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really excited for people to hear it. We think it's gonna kind of take us to another level musically.
Yeah, and something I'll say too about that, which was really cool, is like even though Zach doesn't play piano, he had ideas for keyboard parts that I played and tracked on the song. So like, it's just a cool little like tidbit for any musicians out there that don't play an instrument. Like, you can still generate ideas for other instruments and they can be applied to the songs. You don't necessarily have to be the one playing them, which I just think is a cool little note. And that goes for, you know, anything. Like, even if Zach has an idea for like guitar, or I have an idea for drums, like, you know, it's fun to bounce ideas around. Even if you're not necessarily like the main person playing the instrument, you can still compose for the instrument, which is cool.
Yeah, we're all very collaborative when it comes to part, like writing. Like say Jack will have like a, or Studs or Clay they'll come in with like a riff or a chord progression or some lyrics or whatever it may be, or a bass part. And we all like very collaboratively build the songs together musically. Mm-hmm. And we've gotten, I would say, especially for this batch of songs, we've spent so much more time going over each individual piece of the song and saying, how can we make this better in every way? And how can we support the vocal? And how can we, you know, like build the song up to be as dynamic and fluid as possible? So we're all really, really excited, I would say, on these songs. I think we're all like, all of us have contributed an equal amount to every single piece. And I think we're all like really just stoked for people to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. You guys have such a good dynamic and it seems like it's working really well with you. So
thanks.
Can't wait. So Jack, does this mean you're going to have the keyboard on stage now?
That's a good question. Cause like
something to think about,
like it's definitely something to think about. And like Zach said, like these parts in these songs are somewhat of like supportive to the song. They're not necessarily like the main instrument in the song per se, but we've definitely talked about that a lot. And like, I love playing piano and I was really excited and eager to get those sounds into our music. So like now that they're in there in the recorded versions of these tracks, like there's definitely opportunities for me to, I would say, like potentially even like sit down at a piano and play, or have like a standing keyboard like next to me on stage while I can have my guitar still over my strap still on, my guitar still on, but then I can play keys to the like my right or my left or whatever it may be. So it's something we're definitely talking about. I don't know if it'll happen necessarily right away, but who knows? Maybe.
Yeah,
it's definitely something we've talked about, and at one point it will happen for sure. I'm pretty confident about that, but I just don't know exactly when we'll be incorporating that, because it's a whole nother like
maybe layer. On our tour.
Maybe, yeah.
We'll just have to come and find out.
Yeah.
Maybe. Hey, if anyone's listening goes to one of your tour shows, they need to update us. Let us know. Yeah. Talking more about the songs, well, because your songs have some really cool guitar riffs in them, I was wondering, and you mentioned how collaborative you are in the process of making your songs, so with those cool riffs, Clay, do you bring those, or you all kind of come up with them together? How does that work?
It's kind of changed from where we started to where it is now. I think some of our songs that are released and our most streamed songs, like Take Bummed Out, for instance, the main hook of that song, I believe Jack wrote it.
I wrote that part, yeah.
These days, I usually write all my own parts, and I like it the most that way, because I find that's where I get to put my salt and pepper on the song. That's where I get to feel like I've made my mark on it. So I like to write my own parts these days. But that doesn't mean I'm like strict in that. I like it to be collaborative. I listen to feedback and listen to what these guys have to say. But I'm happiest when I can come in and I hear the song and I can just express myself to like what I think this song needs and requires.
And one of the coolest parts about our band is Stu's is also a great guitar player, which is like, he doesn't play guitar on any of our records, but he actually writes a lot of hooks and stuff for the songs or bass lines for them as well. And
yeah,
it's really cool getting to see the three of them. Like maybe Clay's part comes first, or maybe it comes last, or you know, it's always changing throughout each song, but I get to sit there and watch them kind of go back and forth with each other on the parts. And they're all like just amazing musicians, especially when it comes to guitar and bass. So it's cool. Like they always figure it out piece by piece, and they'll add and subtract to kind of prop each other's parts up as best as they can. So yeah, it's really cool to watch.
Yeah, I was going to say like the joke, or something that I joke about, is like, I'm actually the third best guitar player in the band, just ahead of Zach, and then Stude is actually ahead of me, because he is a very accomplished guitar player as well. And like when we used to jam, like before the band started, just me and Stude's, like we would play, like he'd play bass as well, because obviously he's like the best bass player. But
we do a lot of two guitar.
Yeah, right? A lot of two guitar, like bouncing back and forth stuff. And like even these new songs that we're writing, like or that we've written and recorded now, like, and some new songs we're writing currently. But like Stude's has written some guitar parts in those songs as well, like my parts primarily, in some of them. And then like kind of how it works is like, you know, Stude's will have an idea for a song, he'll bring in a part, and then like since we just have different sort of playing styles, I guess you could say, like I'll kind of adapt it into like sort of my own version of his part.
Yeah, I take it from there.
I take it from there, but like he brings in a lot of really cool guitar ideas that we like build upon. So
it's
that's
sort of like kind of what I was saying about how it would be nice to be better at piano. It's like playing a full chord on a guitar like helps make the idea like make a little more sense. So like I'll usually get some chords, guitar chords going with the bass part if I'm writing something, and then that's what like Jack kind of takes and will make into his own part basically.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a way that certain songs have started.
And then usually Clay will come in with this like perfect riff over top that just kind of ties the whole thing together.
Yeah.
Or sometimes it starts with your line, or
it can happen all sorts of ways.
Yeah, it definitely is very like, you know, it's very unpredictable. Like it can happen in a lot of different ways. Like when the song sort of starts, because like, yeah, like it can start with, I don't know if there's ever really, well, actually there's been probably moments where things have even started with a drum thing that you've played, like on something that you've been like practicing or something, or like
it usually morphs into like I'll do something and it'll change it slightly, and then
we're jamming like freely and maybe Zach kind of changes up a groove in a certain way, and then we're like, oh, okay, that could be like a verse or whatever.
Yeah. So
and then other times too, like there are certain songs that like Jack's just written like basically an acoustic song with like almost fleshed out lyrics, and he just brings it in and we're just like, okay, there it is. We all add our parts to it. Like that's also happened a bunch of times.
Yeah, it's happened in a lot of different ways for us, which I think is cool. It definitely keeps things interesting as well. So like it's not the same process every time. It's always like adapting and changing, which makes it like more fun to just jam and write together, which is, you know, that's probably one of the best things about and the most musical fulfilling moments in the band are like when we're writing these songs and things start clicking and we have like a new song, a new idea, and we're playing it like for the first time and it's like really like filling out and you can sort of like feel it coming together. Like those moments are always like, you know, I get chills like sometimes like playing these songs, like wow, like we're actually like writing a fucking song. Like,
well, we like to press record in those early moments, because I feel like especially like for the parts that I write, it comes from a lot of improv, just doing shit on the spot, like however the song is making me feel, I just kind of spit it out via my guitar, and it doesn't always become the part, but that is like the first draft, and then from there it gets narrowed down. And I think that applies to like everyone yeah, kind of
definitely
lets the song do the thinking and then just play.
Totally. Yeah, that's cool. Like, because there's been so many times where like you said, like we just hit record, or we like record a voice memo on our phone or something or whatever, and then you listen back to it and it's like, holy shit, like that sounds awesome. Like I did that. Like, especially with Clay's parts, I feel like you said, like I think Clay is like, at least I can speak personally from my sort of experience playing guitar, like I'm not really much of an improviser. I'm more of like a rehearse a part and practice it and play it how I want to play it. Clay is like much more gifted at like improv skills and being able to like write things on the fly and like kind of like you said, like expressing yourself through your guitar. It's like one of Clay's greatest abilities. And it's just a really cool way to like, well, yeah, dude, it's awesome. And it's just a really cool way to like hear that back and be like, wow, like I did that there. Like I wasn't really like thinking too much about it, but it just like, it formed itself. And then you can listen back to it. It's just like a really cool experience.
That is really cool. I was going to ask, do you find that when you're like, you know, jamming, improvising, you kind of come up with, not necessarily better, but, you know, it's easier when you're not recording versus when you're recording, yes, because you know you're recording. You're like, this needs to be good, but then it ends up not being good.
What we've started to do, we're fortunate to have a really awesome practice space now that we share with a couple of other Vancouver bands, and we've got this really we've invested some money into a nice setup so that we can record, like I have my laptop open, I can record us as we play a lot of the time now, which is great, because I won't even tell them sometimes when we're recording, I'll just hit record to avoid the, you know, the red light fever, the scared feeling of recording. Because I know for sure, like as soon as I know that we're recording something, you start second guessing yourself, and then that half second of second guessing, you fuck it all up and it sounds bad.
Yeah.
So it's really about being in the moment and like trying to stay in the moment creatively as much as possible. That's where the best ideas come from, for sure. Otherwise they start to become kind of contrived and it feels a little forced. So we've really liked cutting demos a lot quicker than we used to. We'll just cut a demo right then. If we have an idea, we'll record the whole song exactly the way we just played it and then build from there.
We're getting like better at it though. As the years have gone by, it's like, I think you just do get a little more comfortable.
Yeah.
A little less nervous when you hit record.
But... Yeah. And like, even just recording, like, which we haven't done a ton, but like what's we can do and what I think is a good exercise is like, you can just like kind of hit record and you don't have to be like, okay, we hit record, like, oh, someone messed up, like, stop, like, redo it or whatever. Like, you just record, like, a longer session and you just jam it out and, like, figure it out in the recording. And, like, that kind of goes back to what Clay was saying about, like, you just put what you're feeling in the moment into the song. So then you're worrying less about, like, we need to record this song, like, from the beginning to the end and, like, have it sound perfect so we can, like, you know, listen back to it in the way it's supposed to be. It's almost better to just, like, hit record, not think about it, and just, like, play the song and then... hopefully it comes out sounding good. And if it doesn't, then, you know, you just do again, you know, like don't think about it too much. Cause that red light fever, whatever you get when like you hit that record button, like I even do it at home. If I'm just like filming like a, whatever little video of me playing acoustic guitar or something, like I'll play something, I'll be singing it. And I'm like, oh, this is sounding cool. Like maybe I'll try to like film it. And then you like start recording it. And then I just fuck it up like over and over and over again. It's like, why can't I play it now? Like just because I started recording it now, all of a sudden my fingers don't work and my throat's all dry. It's like, it's crazy how that can happen. It's a strange phenomenon.
It's even harder when there's a video component.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing too. Now you're looking at it and you're like, well, I look like that. Like what? And like, why am I, what the hell? Like it just adds another layer to it. And then it just, yeah, you can get in your head a lot about it.
The cover videos you post on Instagram, considering what you just talked about, does it take like long to film those? How, or do you, is it just kind of an easier process because you're covering a song and it's not necessarily, you know, sometimes, something you have to come up with? Yeah,
it can be either like we've like exactly all the stuff they just said about the red light fever, like we're just like doing like take 30 and just can't get it right. That's definitely happened. But sometimes it's literally just like, we like this song, we can all learn this chunk of it, like it's a fun thing for Instagram, we just like bang it out super quick. Mm-hmm. So like I like to think that's usually how it goes actually, but there's definitely ones where like, I don't know, boys, this is,
yeah, it's like
there's a lot of takes.
yeah we've struggled on some of them,
and then we'll be like really picky sometimes too. We're like, okay, we're just making a fun video for Instagram, but we're like, no, it's gotta be,
yeah, because we're a little bit like perfectionists in that way, like when it comes to those videos, because we really want, like, because we just want them to sound the best they can sound. We know we can play them really well, and it's like we'll hear it back and it's like, oh well, I kind of fucked that up there, like we can just do it again right now and we'll get it. And then you do it again and you're like, oh, well then I fucked up this little thing here. And then you just get like, you get a little bit too tied up in it sometimes. I think we're all just like that pretty naturally, just like really want it to sound the best it can sound. And so we get a little picky, but yeah, like this dude said, it's some of them are quick and easy and we're like, oh, we got it. And then some of them, you know, it's take 20, take 25. It's like, okay, what are we doing here? Like, let's just get it done.
Yeah. Well, I hope you keep recording them. They're fun to watch. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, nice, yeah, little... we kind of, I was just gonna say, we've kind of like taken a bit of a hiatus on those. Not like, we still have some actually that we've recorded and they're with video and audio and like it, they're sounding great and like we're gonna post those. We've just kind of been like Zach mentioned earlier on that, like we're just kind of working on like sort of developing some assets and stuff for these new songs right now, and like we're working on preparing like a big outflow of like stuff that we can kind of roll out with the new songs and like new photos and new everything, like new bio, you know, like all this stuff. So we just had a slight pause on that stuff, but we really do want to get back into putting like those covers and stuff, because those are, we have a lot of fun making those. And yeah, just seeing the response that we get to, like people, you know, oh, I love the song, like, oh, you guys play this so cool, like, oh, it's different, like those things are really cool as well. So yeah, we're gonna get back into doing that very soon.
Yeah, it's a fun like Friday night activity, have a couple of drinks and make videos.
Yeah, make videos. Yeah, it's awesome, like it's play super music. Fun. Yeah, play music, and like that's a good opportunity we get to like cover songs and like also not have to worry about like learning the whole song and in perfection, like to play in a set, like we can just kind of play a tidbit of it for fun and just like nail apart and also add our own little spice into it however we see fit that makes sense with the cover that we're playing. Like it's just a really
fun, and it's time. Fun to just like be going about your day, like whatever, maybe you got Spotify on shuffle and then you're just like, oh, like that'd be a fun one to do a little cover of, and then we kind of tell the guys and get it done when we can.
Mm-hmm.
Nice, I love that. But, and it's funny, I didn't think about the fact that you don't have to learn the whole song for the video. Yes.
Yeah, not necessarily. Like, it kind of depends. Like, if we want to do a full cover, we could. And, like, but like a lot of the songs, you know, if we're playing, like, a verse chorus, like, the song maybe has, like, verse chorus, and it's, like, verse two and chorus two. Like, we could play the whole thing. But just because, you know, video length and stuff, like reels or whatever we're trying to do, or a TikTok or something. Like, we want it to be like a minute or however long we want it to be. So we usually just play a tidbit of it. And that does make it easier sometimes, because then we don't have to worry about getting a full take of the song all sounding perfect. You just get like a small chunk of it.
Makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. And I've just noticed we've been talking for over an hour. So I don't want to keep you guys for too long. I just wanted to ask, is there anything you would like to talk or mention before we stop?
I mean, I think we've kind of like covered everything. Like, we talked about, we have new songs coming soon. So stay tuned for that. Like we mentioned, we have the 3 songs we've recorded, so we're going to roll those out. And we also are going on tour that we mentioned. So we're going to be in Western Canada, going to Alberta, and then coming back to the interior. Then we're going to Toronto, and we're going to, sometime in between that or slightly after that, we're going to be playing a show in Vancouver as well, like kind of a homecoming show after we play these shows out of town. So
stay tuned and
like, yeah, lots of cool stuff coming up. And like we mentioned, we're working with a new producer with these songs, and like we feel very reinvigorated. Like, it's like a new turn of the chapter, I guess. I don't know, I didn't really say that very well, but you know what I mean. It's like a new chapter is starting, and really excited, and we got lots of stuff coming up. And yeah, I think that's pretty much everything going on. So
yeah,
we covered it all.
And where can people find you?
Oh, you can find us on any social media platform. We're on Instagram, we're on TikTok. It's all at Bilby Point. We're on YouTube as well. We have live performances there. We're on Spotify, Apple Music.
Yeah, we're gonna have some new YouTube content coming out. Like, we're gonna be filming a music video and for our first single. And we're going to be having like a lot of like short and long form content. We've been filming pretty much everything we've been doing since we started this rebrand.
Mm-hmm.
We're really, really excited to share some behind the scenes stuff. We're going to be filming our whole tour as well. So we should have like a Strokes in Transit type like documentary thing that we're going to hopefully do. So yeah, like, subscribe to our YouTube channel, obviously. And yeah, also just the other thing that we want to say is, like I said earlier, like, don't be afraid to talk to us and hit us up on social media. We're trying to be, you know, as engaging as possible. So even if you want to just say like, what's up, and talk for a bit, like, we're always on there. We'll chat with anybody. If you want to say you hate a song, you know, say that. If you want to say you like one, maybe don't say you hate it, but
you know, if you hate something, you know, let us know, and we'll get back to you as soon as possible.
We'll fix it.
Whatever it is, we'll fix it. We'll make it good. We'll make it just how you like it, and it'll be good.
Yeah. I mean, I can speak from experience. It's really scary approaching artists you like, but hey, you guys are very chill. So
yeah,
genuinely, cool. Anyone listening, go talk.
Yeah, I'm really happy you did, because now here we are, and we got to talk with you, and it was an awesome experience. Like, that was super fun. It was very natural and chill, and like, we just got to talk about what we do, and it's like,
it's great.
And you were awesome, so thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, oh my God, thank you.